1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, and we emphasized that this morning, the key word there is first. There's a battleground over what's going to be first. Who's going to be first? What is getting first attention, first affection, first action? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So he starts out this chapter in prayer. He emphasizes prayer, and then he summarizes prayer in verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Prayer is needed everywhere. Everywhere there's a person, there is a prayer request. Everywhere there's a Christian, there should be a prayer source. Everywhere there's a Christian, that men pray everywhere. And then he adds some conditions to that. Lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. One of the questions that stirred and was a part of the start of the Hebrides Island, the Hebrides Revival there off the coast of Scotland, was that young man that stood up in that prayer meeting in the barn there where the pastor and some of the men were gathered to pray. And he lifted up his hands and he prayed and he just simply asked the question, Lord, is my hands clean? Lord, is my heart clean? He only asked those two questions and the power of God fell in that place. And of course, it moved through those islands like a tidal wave. I think that it gets God's attention when we get interested in having a clean hands and clean heart and a clean mind and clean habits. Amen. That's right. You know, business is picking up when God starts dealing with you about things that there's not even a Bible verse about. Say amen right there. You know, we think, well, if it's not in bold print, you know, or in red, God's not saying anything to me. No. Listen, let the Spirit of God deal with you. He'll deal with you about things that may not be a sin, but it may be a weight. It may be just something that's hindering you from full potential. And there may be times that God will put his finger on something. Listen, I don't know if I've ever said this before. There may be times that God puts his finger on something in your life that he wants you to deal with simply because the flesh likes it. What about that? No Bible verse, nothing, maybe not even some conviction. Just the fact that your flesh, that part of you that's not saved, likes it. But anyway, that'll be between you and the Lord, amen. But anyway, the Bible said in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, not last of all. It probably would help us, Brother Craig, to write up above the word first, put in parentheses, not last. Paul said prayer is to go on first of all. Before you do anything else, first of all. If prayer is the last resort, then that's violating the truth here revealed. if it's not even on the list, and you'd be shocked how many people in church don't even pray that claim to be saved. They don't even pray. And so if it's last of all or not at all, both of those statements violate severely the words first of all. And we've been preaching Wednesday night, this morning, tonight, on prayer first. Prayer first. We talked about the plea for prayer first. I exhort, Paul said. And we went into that word exhort and talked about what it meant. And we said some things about that. The plea for prayer first. Number two, we talked about the, this morning we covered quite a bit of ground on the purpose of prayer first. I exhort, therefore. That the word therefore identifies a purpose. A person that does not pray on purpose is a person that doesn't have a purpose to pray. Behind prayerlessness is it don't matter. If it happens, it don't happen. And that's where the devil wants us to get, is to where, well, if it happens, fine. If we have a good youth camp, fine. If the Lord moves, fine. If he don't, fine. It won't be the end of the world. If that is your attitude, I promise you, you're not going to be praying effectively, and surely you're not going to be following this guidelines laid out in the Holy Scriptures of prayer first, first of all. So we talked about the purpose of prayer this morning and a little bit on Wednesday night, but in this morning, the Lord got us hung up there on one of those purposes, and that was souls being saved. And I think that's a subject deserving to get hung up on, don't you think? Without a doubt. But I want to move on past that. I could bog in on this on another one that I mentioned at this morning about the purpose there, but I really don't feel like the Lord wants me to do that right now because it would take up quite a bit of time, and I don't know if you can handle it because we would be dealing with a lot of personal stuff. Amen. That's right. So I want us to move on and deal next, and we're going to be focusing on the word first, and I want to talk about the priority of prayer first. When Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, he's emphasizing the word first. Prayer is to be done before anything else. It's a priority. It's a priority, not a preference. It's a priority. Amen. It's not if you want to or not or whatever. Prayer first. The word first here, it means firstly. It means firstly in time, place, order, or importance. That's what the Strong's Concordance definition is. Firstly in time, place, order, and importance. Before, at the beginning, chiefly, several times, or not several times, but a few times, it's translated in our King James Bible, this Greek word here for first is translated chiefly. Chiefly. I don't know how to explain that other than, you know, Indians, they have chiefs. That's the highest position. They get all the privileges, I guess. I don't know. But chiefly, at the first of all, prayer first, or not, is not based on circumstances or upon conditions. Well, I got to wait and see before I pray. No, prayer first is a priority. You pray before things happen. You pray before the day starts or before the day ends. You pray first. It deals with priority. Now, I want to help you see how big that is. I went back and I began to search and look at some of the other places that word first is used. This same word here in this verse, I looked at some other places, and there's a lot of them, but some of them stood out to me for emphasis. For instance, here's one that would help us. Matthew 6:33, how many can quote that verse? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. Do you see the importance of that verse around that word first? God said, you're to seek my, I want you to seek my kingdom first. I want you to seek not just my kingdom first, but also my righteousness. And God used the same word that He attached to putting God and His kingdom and His righteousness first in your life that you seek after. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God used that same word to teach us how important prayer is. That prayer is likewise to be done first. I think that prayer, in the fact that it used the same word in Matthew 6, 33, and also 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, and it used the same word, I think that probably that's how we do seek His kingdom, is through prayer. It's without a doubt. Amen? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. I wrote down on that note there, just a note. But God used the same word first for the placement and the priority of His kingdom and His righteousness. Linking prayer first is divinely linked to God first. Think about that. Prayer first is really God first. Amen. Do we see where that needs to be preached? Do we see where that we fail in that God first? You know what challenges? You know what challenges the God first thing? Let me give you a couple more examples. And it's in that passage. It's in those words. It's in those verses. Here's you one. You ready for it? Jesus in Luke 9, 59, He says to some disciples, follow me. He said that. He said, follow me. But one of the disciples responded and said this, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You see the challenge of God first? Me first. Lord, you want me to follow you? I'll do that, but I've got some things that I want to do. And that was an important thing. Go bury my father? I think that's a big deal. But He used the word first. Same word, Brother Aaron. Same word that would take priority if your father had died and that you would direct your attention to that situation. I've done been through that. I've done been through those waters. How many else has been through that with your parents? It takes priority, don't it? It don't matter what plans I had when I got the news that my daddy had died or my mom died first and then the next year my daddy died. When I got that news, I didn't say to my brother and my sister and all them that I said, I'll look at my calendar. I'll see if I can make it. No, it became priority. Amen? And God is showing us by using that same word first. He's showing us that the same attention that self demands that we give it is the same attention that we're supposed to give to prayer. Do you think revival would break out if we would just move self over and put prayer in its place? Jesus said, follow me. And He said, well, I'll do that, but I've got to do something first. He put those two words together, me first. Me first is the challenge to God being first in your life. Amen. So we see the importance of this word first, identifying priority, in that Jesus used it in Matthew 6, 33. And I wrote this down. If God is not first, then what good is it to pray first? It won't do a bit of good to pray first, as Paul was talking about, if God is not first. And Matthew 6, 33, I remind you, is written in a chapter and in context of worry. Be not anxious. Be not anxious. Amen. Worrying is an indicator of a prayer problem and a placement problem, priority problem of God. Listen to this. God deserves and demands and desires to be first in your life. I almost had them to sing that other song, that one I commented on. That song about surrender. He's everything, and then I surrender everything to Him. That is the key. That is the key to you being what God wants you to be, to our church being what God wants it to be, for the youth camp to be effective and lives being changed, is God first. But there's a constant battle over that. Me first, God first, so on, so forth. But that verse in Scripture said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word seek is in the active voice, meaning the subject is the doer of the action. He said, in other words, you do it. Nobody can do it for you. God's not going to do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. It's a word of responsibility. Oh, we hate that. Don't we hate that? Seek ye first means you do it. But, well, just listen to this. It's also in the present tense. That is, do it now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Do it now. You can't do it yesterday because yesterday's gone. Do it in the present tense. Make sure it stays active in the present tense. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But it's also in an imperative mood. Listen to this. The imperative mood is a command given. It is an order given. It's something imperative. It's something necessary. When God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He is not giving a suggestion or a recommendation. He's giving a command. The greatest challenge is who's going to be first in your life. So does that help us see how important that word first is in prayer? If God could use it to attach it to His kingdom and His righteousness, I think that's big. Here's you another one. Here's you another verse that would help us see the bigness of that word first. Like that word, bigness. Here it is, Mark 16 and verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early, you know where I'm going, the first day of the week. How important was that? He couldn't have rose from the dead any other day. He couldn't have arose from the dead on the day before or the day after. He chose that first day. I got asked recently about why we worship on Sunday. I said, that's simple. I said, one, we're not Seventh-day Adventists, for one. We're not law keepers. If you think you can keep the law and make it to heaven, I'm going to go ahead and bust your bubble. There's not a chance. There's not a chance, nowhere, no time for you to make it. And I don't have time to deal with that. Every time after the resurrection that Jesus met with His disciples was on the first day of the week. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that He is living, no matter what men may say. He's alive. He's alive. How important is the first day of the week? Is that first day a priority? Oh, preach, I don't like Monday. I think, Monday gets a bad rap, don't it? Oh, it's Monday. It's one of them Mondays. Good night. It's Monday all day, too. You know? And when it's really bad is when you start having Mondays on Tuesday and Wednesday. And your whole week is a Monday. Amen? It's really bad. But the emphasis there, not just on seeking first the kingdom of God is right, but also the first day of the week is so important. And you know what happened on the first day of the week in that verse? Jesus arose. Jesus said, that's the day that I'm going to rise from the dead. It's going to be on that special day. God used the word first to put on the resurrection of Christ. He used the word first to put on the day that Jesus was to rise from the dead. Here's you another one. Here's another verse. 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 5, talking about the churches of Macedonia. Here's what it said in verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see that? Did y'all see that? They gave themselves first. It wasn't what they were giving first. They gave themselves first. I've got a picture, and we've probably all seen it, where Brother Stennett Blue was preaching out of that passage there, 2 Corinthians 8, and he had evidently had a special offering plate made just for an illustration of his message, because it wasn't like this. It was like this, but it was about this big around. And it was in the form of an offering plate. And when he was preaching this message on, they gave themselves first to the Lord. It shows him down in front of the church with that laying in the floor. And he said, here's what that means. And he steps his whole self over into that offering plate to be given to the Lord. Revival is never going to happen where there's no surrender and where there's no submission. Amen. I know the youth choir sung it, but I even want to challenge the young people. Is that really true? Is that, I don't know, I can't answer that for you. I don't know if God has all of you, no more than you know if God has all of me, but you know if God has all of you. Brother, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of saved people that has never went to the point of surrender. Amen. You've heard me tell this. It's just now come back to my mind. I was preaching up in North Carolina. I was preaching a revival several years ago, many years ago. And I preached on winning, something along the lines about how that Joshua and the people defeated Jericho just simply by submission and surrender. They didn't fire a shot. They didn't have hand grenades. They didn't have weapons. All they did was obey God. And what they were obeying God to do required submission, because it didn't make no sense. March around the wall one day for 6 days, and then go 7 times around on the 7th day, 13 times, and never open your mouth, don't say nothing. Couldn't have been Baptist. And they was in unity? Yeah. No, couldn't have been Baptist. No. And I preached on success, the success of submission. Winning through submission. Just kind of that line of thought. And there was a lady went to the altar, silver-haired lady. And I didn't know him. That's the first time and only time I've even been in that church preaching that meeting. And she went to the altar, and she stayed in the altar for a while, and she got up. And I, like I said, I didn't know her, and she testified at the end. She said, I've been going here ever since I was a little girl. And I'm talking about she's probably upper 60s, maybe even in her 70s. I mean, just looking. I could have been wrong. But she stood up and she said, I've been going to this church ever since I was a little girl. And she said, I've been teaching Sunday school here in this church ever since I was a teenager. And she said, but tonight was the first time ever in my life that I went to an altar and said, Lord, here am I. You can have all of me. You talking about a scarcity of that class of people that have said, Lord, here it is. Young people, you want to be used of God, for God to make a difference not only to you and in you, but also through you. Let Him have all of you. Amen. And that won't be something that you can just do and it's done. Amen. Yeah, I did that, preacher, 10 years ago. No. It's something that requires maintenance. It's something that requires attention. Amen. Worldliness is going to show up. If a person is getting worldly in their heart and worldly in their mind and worldly in their desires and worldly in their action, all of that, it's going to show up. It's going to show up on you. It's going to show up on how you dress. That's why he goes right out of that in 1 Timothy 2. He deals with them prayer verses and lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then he goes right into the talking to the women, and he said, and also in like manner. In other words, just like the men lifting up holy hands, and just like the men praying, and just like the men considering the importance of holiness. He said the women needs to do that and dealt with modest apparel, that they adorn themselves in modest apparel. The church that we're going to go to in Morristown, here in this month, I believe it's this month. I'll have to look at my calendar. I've got it down, though. But that's one of the reasons he wanted us to come. He wanted us to come because he heard me preach over at White Pine, and he heard our youth choir sing over at White Pine, and he saw how our youth choir was dressed. And I want to just throw out a real bold statement here. We're not going to mess that testimony up. Are y'all listening to the preacher? I've been here too long. I've been preaching too long here at the church. We're not going to go the immodest direction. We are not. Hello? Anybody know what the word not means? We are not going that direction. Churches everywhere are full of immodesty. And here's what I found. And there's a church in South Carolina full of it, friend. They went away from standards, and they started tolerating short dresses and mini skirts and low-cut tops and tight sprayed-on clothes. And before you know it, the church is full of sin. We're not going that route. Real popular in our day, is knee-see dresses. Are y'all listening? Real popular, knee-see. So what does that mean? Are you kidding me? And you know where God, and I don't have time to deal with this tonight, but I promise you I got the scripture. I promise you I can deal with it. God identifies nakedness. In the garden, they were naked, and that was complete nudity. Complete. But you can look elsewhere in the scripture, and you can find where that if just the thigh is shown, God said that's nakedness. Amen. And if you got, listen, young people. If you got a dress on that's just barely touching the knee, I promise you if you sit down, it goes that far above your knee. And if you're up here on an elevated platform, if it's barely touching the knee, because of the elevation of view, it's above the knee. And that's where the thigh starts. You say, preach, that's legalism. Call it what you will, but that's what we're doing around here. Amen. We're not going to budge that boundary. I didn't want to get on that. Amen. We're going up there tomorrow. We're going to be singing up there. Youth choir going to be singing up there. Better be dressed right. Now, you know, this is not something that I'm just mentioning right now. I've been here 28 and a half years, and I've covered this many times and fought many battles over this. Amen. Are y'all listening to preaching? You say, you're meddling now. Call it what you want to. I call it making applications. Some people have a hard time applying it to their own heart and life. Amen. Listen, you know I don't deal with it much, but I'm on it. I try to get past it. Lord got me on it anyway. We're not going that direction. The skin tight, sprayed on stuff that you can't hardly wiggle, can't hardly move because your clothes are so tight, we're not going that direction. That violates every definition of the word modest. Every definition of the word modest. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, guess what they put on? How many knows what they put on? They sewn fig leaves, which was probably equivalent to nothing but a loincloth. made out of leaves. God rejected that, and there wasn't even another man for Eve to lust after, and there wasn't even another woman for Adam to lust after. Nobody to even see them in their nakedness except each other and the animals. And God still rejected the fig leaves and killed an animal and clothed them with the skins. And I know y'all don't want the definition on that. Look it up. Just go home tonight. Look up Old Testament use of the, if I say it right, the ketestol. Ketestol. And see what kind of apparel shows up. I promise you, you won't see no legs, thighs, or nothing else. Have you noticed how quiet it's getting in here? Amen. Had to hit it. You know why? The influence, the world. Who said the world's supposed to set the standard of the dress in the house of God, of God's people? Are y'all right? Are y'all okay? You do know that I'm not having to get out of my text chapter to deal with that. You do notice that. Isn't it amazing that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he's dealing with prayer, 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 holiness, holiness, prayer, and goes right out of that and dealing with, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold, pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And there's probably not a church in this whole area that even would even mention that. You know why? The preacher's not going to preach on it because he don't do it. His wife don't do it. And his children don't do it. But we're not the average church in town, and we're not going that direction. I'm not going that direction. If y'all want to go that direction, then you know what the deal will be. Because I'm not going that route. I believe I've got Bible to prove what I'm preaching. Amen. That's right. Are y'all okay? Don't make no difference if y'all are not. That's it. We're not. Amen. We're going to have young people coming to camp. Amen. We need to be the standard. Our church needs to be the standard. That's right. So a word to the wise is sufficient. Right? How many say you're right? Am I right? A word to the wise is sufficient. Don't test me on it. Don't test me on it. Don't push the boundaries because I'm not budging. I've been in this thing too long. It is a strong Bible conviction. It is right. Amen. And it's starting to slip in here. I saw a pile of it over at the shindig yesterday. I said, this is not happening. Shindig or no shindig, it's not happening. Are y'all listening? You said, we're on live stream, of course. Amen. We're not doing it. You know why? It's in the context of prayer for some reason. Well, it don't matter, preacher. Well, then you tell me. Since y'all all smart, let me ask you a question. If it's not no big deal to God, why did he even mention modest apparel? If there's nothing about it, nothing to it, why did God even mention it? I tell you why, because he's got a standard. Amen. Some of you look a little wormy. But I promise you, I'm not the one looking wormy. Amen. We're not dealing. Can I say that real plain? We are not going that direction. Because I know where it goes. What the older generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. You start wearing dresses that far above your knees, there'll be young people come in here. If you let that go, they'll be coming in here and their dresses will be plumb up to their waist. I'm not going that route. I'm not going that route. Say amen. Is that good and clear? The Bible said reprove and rebuke. I just did a little of it. And got the Bible on it right here. And I didn't have to get out of my text. I didn't even have to get out of my text to deal with it. We're good, aren't we? If I didn't care about the church and you and the Lord being pleased with us, I wouldn't mention stuff like that. But I'm not afraid to deal with it. I just don't like it. I don't like dealing with it. I'd rather shout it out and testify and all that. But they gave themselves first. Here I am, Lord. How hard is that? Here I am, Lord, all of me. I'll give you all of me. If there's something in my wardrobe that's not right, it's gone. It's gone. If there's something in my personal life that's not right, a habit or whatever in my life, it's gone. It's gone. I want to be pleasing to you. Anyway, I better get off that. Lord wouldn't let. I tried to get away from that because I knew, and I'd be dog if I didn't get on it anyway. But anyway. So not only used to I could preach that here and I'd get a few amens. I could get a few amens at least from somebody. But I couldn't hardly get a grunt. But I don't have to have it. Listen, I don't have to have it. If I've got the book and I'm standing on the book, I don't need an amen. I like it. I like to have a bunch of it, but I don't have to have it. Say amen right there. That's right. All right. Y'all ready to move on? Have we got that covered? We'll see. We will see if that got covered. Say amen right there. Because the next time, it may be Moses coming off the mountain with the law. I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be the next time because I believe you know it's right. Amen. Don't budge the boundaries. If you know what the line is, if you know thigh and loins is clearly in the Old Testament identified as nakedness, why budge the boundaries? Lifting up holy hands, ladies, we're on it still. Y'all need an illustration. Y'all need a demonstration. Lifting up holy hands. If you can do like that and it pulls your dress plumb up on your thigh, it's too short. Your knee is identified right here. If you want to do this at home, I suggest you do it at home. Get down on your knees. Raise your hands. And it should not pull your skirt up off the floor. If it pulls it up above it, then it's above your knee. And that's the last reference point you have till you get to the loins. We all right over there, Miss Candy? Amen. Our church has got a testimony because it's biblical. And we're going to hold it. We're going to hold that line. We're going to continue in that direction. Because immodesty and immorality and idolatry, that's three things that goes together as running themes through the Scripture. When they made the golden calf, how many remembers that? You ought to go back and read that. That was people who had been brought out of Egypt. When they got out of God's will, look at what happened. They had a calf created. Idolatry, they took their clothes off, that's immodesty, and then they rose up to play. And you can do your own study as to what that means. It runs together. You say it won't happen here. It will. It will happen here. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. And I need your help, parents. I need your help on it. Young people, I need your help on it. We need that to hold a good testimony in our church. And it's associated in our passage of Scripture here with prayer, is it not? Thank you, Brother Ben. I got one amen and a burp. That was pretty good. Whew, man, it's getting hot in here. That's not the temperature. That's conviction, friend. Whoo, I wish he'd get off of that. Y'all thought I done got past all that. The priority of it. Next, we made it. No, this one's not much better. The preeminence of it. First, prayer first of all means that out of all that's in your life, all the responsibilities, all the relationships, all the requirements, all the recreations in your life, rising above that chiefly is to be prayer. It's to be prayer. So it's not just a priority, it's to be first. It's to be preeminent in that it rises above everything else. Chiefly, first of all. Number five, the prerequisite of prayer first. Anytime the word first is used, usually it implies that something is going to be a second and a third and a fourth. First Adam. Adam's called the first Adam. That implies that there's going to be another one. The last Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That implies that there's a second. So when we have prayer first, that shows that it is a prerequisite in order to have the next or what it follows that. Let me give it to you like this, far as a prerequisite. And I wrote it down like this. It helps me to understand it. You cannot build without what is first, but you can build upon what is first. I'm not much on construction, had to do all that, but I do know how important the foundation is when you're getting ready to build a house. That could be the first element, that first work. Well, what do you do with that? You build on it, right? You build on that first work. You can't build without it. If you build your house without the foundation, guess what's going to happen in the very near future? We're going to have start having cracks in the walls and windows falling out and roofs falling in. Why? Because there was nothing there good and solid in the first category. All right. So the prerequisite, the power of prayer first. Prayer is to be made for all men, kings, and all those that are in authority. Prayer covers a lot of ground and affects a lot of things and a lot of people. All men. Number seven, the production of prayer first. Verse number two, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How many wants to live a quiet and peaceable life? That word quiet has to do with tranquility. That word peaceable has to do with no commotion. God said we're to pray for people in authority. We're to pray for kings, people in authority, for all men. Why? The results of it. The results of it is it's going to produce, it's going to affect us. Why should I pray for those? Because it's going to come back to me. That's a good reason to pray, isn't it? And then the last one is number eight, whatever, the prince or the priest of prayer first, and that's when you focus on verse number 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. When you're focusing your attention on Jesus, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Prayer first should be in our life. And I told you when I started Wednesday night that I'm not all there. I'm not preaching this because I am scoring 100 on this. I'm preaching this because I need it. I need God to speak to me. I need God to deal with me. Amen? The prince of prayer first. Verse 3, his profitability. Verse 4, his passion. He would have all men to be saved. His position, he's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then it said there in verse number 6, it talked about his payment that he gave for our sins. How important, let me ask you this in closing, how important do you think prayer first is to Jesus? He's the high priest. He prays for us consistently. He ever lives to do what? Make intercession for us. So prayer first is a big deal to him. And it should be to us. And I hope that God has used these verses. And it's all been positive other than that one little segment there a while ago. But that's the only thing most will remember. They'll go out, man, I can't believe a preacher blowed us out, man. I'm dead. But what about all those Wednesday night? I preached, I don't know how long, Wednesday night, this morning. All that was good, positive stuff. But anyway, we need it. We need it. If we're going to be what God wants us to be in these last days, we're going to need it. We're going to need it. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us. I want to thank you for giving us a Bible. Lord, we wouldn't have no idea of any aspect about prayer if we didn't have a Bible. We wouldn't know anything about what you expect out of us. We wouldn't have any idea, no clues whatsoever of how to be a better Christian, to have the power of God, the presence of God, to be pleasing to God. We wouldn't know anything if we didn't have a Bible. Lord, I want to thank you for it. And Lord, when we preach through the Scriptures, Lord, there's times, especially if we get in a passage and we just go verse by verse down through those verses, there's going to be times that, Lord, you're going to sink the plow on something that's right there in the text. And I don't believe we'd be in where we are at as a nation if all of the pulpits were filled with men of God that would do that, they would be obedient to the Lord and deal with things instead of budging the boundaries and seeing how far they can go. God, help us. I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord. Help RBT to be that last day church, that we would not become influenced with the spirit of Antichrist. Lord, you're interested in our mind. You're interested in our attitude, our thoughts, our actions, our aspirations. You're interested, Lord, in every aspect of our life. Help us to get interested in it. Help us, Lord, to desire to go in a God-honoring direction. Not to see where we can draw the line between the church and the world, between the flesh and the spirit, and just draw the line somewhere. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be right. Help us to be right, Lord. What I preach tonight, even that, all the negative there, Lord, that's not bondage. There's no bondage in that. The flesh hates it. But there's no bondage in that. Lord, the Spirit of God wants us to be Christ-like in appearance, in our attitude, our actions, our affections. Every way, inside, outside, Lord, you're wanting us to be Christ-like. And we all need it. We need working on. I need you to continue to work on me and speak to me about it. Lord, help me in these last days. Lord, I want to be a preacher, Lord, that I don't want to be known as a mean preacher. I don't want to be known as a harsh preacher. But Lord, if I'm in the text and it's in the text, Lord, I want to deal with it if it's in the text. Because we need it. RBT needs it. Lord, help us to have an impact on area churches. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go tomorrow to Tazewell, Lord, that you will use us there. Help us as we go to Marstown and the youth choir sings there and we preach there, Lord. Please use us. Please help us to want to honor you. To honor you, Lord, with our life, with our convictions, with our commitments. And Lord, you gave me, Lord, a saying yesterday that with every decision, there's also a dismission. Something gets dismissed every decision that we make. If we're going forward, there's something that we have to dismiss to do that. And may we not be influenced on our decision based on what will be dismissed. Help us, Lord, to go forward and please you and honor you. use the service tonight. And Lord, you know my heart, Lord. I did not have any kind of motives that were of the flesh this evening. Not trying to sound bad and big and all that. Lord, there's none of that in my heart. Lord, what was driving me, Lord, to preach what I did in the, Lord, tonight is it's in the Bible, and not just that, but it would honor you. It would please you, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, please to help us to want that. If we don't want that, then nothing else matters. Certainly prayer first will not be of importance. If we fall out and get upset over some modesty preaching, if we fall out and get mad over stuff like that, Lord, we surely are not going to be committed Christians to pray first. Seek the kingdom of God first. Give ourselves first. Lord, I pray you'd just take the message tonight, Wednesday night, this morning. Speak to us. Challenge our hearts with it. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.